Hey everyone, great episode of the show to kick off the week. We first talked about Roaring Kitty coming back and the GameStop pump that has been happening on their stock this morning. We also talked about the recent NFT action, including Pudgy Penguins moving over to Target and what might happen for ETH NFTs this summer. And lastly, we wrapped up talking about all things Fantasy Top strategy for this week, Nick and Easy becoming heroes in the latest season 2 launch, and how to navigate the ecosystem. Today's show is brought to you in partnership with Galaxis, the no-code framework for launching communities using NFTs. They just launched a community grants program with $1 million worth of rewards to be distributed to creators and community members. If you want to learn more, go to galaxis.xyz. Thanks again and enjoy the show. Good morning, everyone. Happy Monday. Welcome to the Daily Bone podcast. This is where we talk all things crypto, meme coins, NFTs, and pretty much only blast the last few days. It's literally the only thing going on right now, but we think that might change. And we are going to discuss if this week will be the week we finally break out of the snooze fest that has been crypto price action. We've been chopping. It's been boring. And it's been all things blast recently, but maybe it'll change. We're also talking NFT, recent NFT action. We got Pudgy Penguins taking over Target. We'll talk. They are recovering a little bit, so we'll see if they have any legs going forward after things they've been teasing. And obviously, we'll talk Blast. There's been some interesting things going on with the Fantasy Top world, Blast Gold, and Blast NFTs. Just an absolute disaster. So we are going to be breaking all of that down. But before we kick off today's show, today's show is brought to you in partnership with Galaxis. Galaxis is a decentralized no-code framework transforming how digital communities are built and interacted with. So you can build a community, your NFT community, without having to use any coding required. So super simple. You can go in, create these membership cards, which is what they're calling it, and use them to unlock perks, utilities, access, privileges, and value, and more. It can include physical or digital rewards. They also just launched a community grants program with $1 million worth of rewards to be distributed to both creators and community members. Both of those links, if you want to learn more, they're pinned up top and in the YouTube description. Before we kick off and get into the weather report, real quick, Easy, I saw everyone talking about this Roaring Kitty guy.
Do you not know who that is?
I was not around for that.
All right, so Clemente, I'm taking a look at your calendar right now. You have an opening between 2:30 to 3:30.
What the hell?
2:30 to 4. I want you to sit down, all right? And you're going to put on this movie, all right?
On Netflix?
Not even a documentary.
It's
like a remake. Pete Davidson's in it, basically your twin. And you need to sit down and watch that today, all right? You have to do your homework. So I was active in Wall Street Bets when this was going down. What happened was retail realized Melvin Capital was a massive net short position on GameStop. So Wall Street Bets banded together and gigalonged GameStop, pushing the stock from like sub $10 to like over 100. Short squeezed the ever-living hell out of this traditional hedge fund. Led to Robinhood turning off buying pressure, learning to all this stuff. You need to go watch the movie today, all right?
So I remember that. I was the exit liquidity for that, actually. I bought the Pico top of it, of course. But you're saying Roaring Kitty is the guy behind it.
He was a guy on Reddit.
Yeah, he was a guy on Reddit. He posted the long thesis. He posted the whole long paper trail about it of like this whole massive 5-paragraph Times New Roman 12-font essay with MLA citations of why he was buying these option contracts. And he turned like 10 grand into a couple million dollars. So he was like the guy,
like
every day,
$30 million,
a ton of money. And what ended up happening was he kept updating his position every day. And then he ended up getting sued by like a bunch of things. He ended up having to go in front of the SEC, had to do all this stuff. It's called dumb money. So I'm actually going to put a block on your calendar to watch this today. All right. You're going to sit down at 2 p.m. and watch it. It's your homework.
So, okay. And by the way,
I just told him the story. I think we're good.
The GME, the GME meme coin is up 830% in the last 24 hours. We also have the GME stock is up 34% pre-market.
He's been gone for 3 years. So him coming back, and the only thing he posted was the like sitting up in the chair meme.
Right.
It's like he's in the zone. He's locked in again. He's back, which means a bunch of people are speculating. This means retail's about to re-enter. I'm going to be watching Wall Street Bets Reddit today to see if he posts. Because whatever he mentions in there, we're going to get shit coins on it. You're going to watch price action on stuff. Like, if he pulls up and he's like, guys, I'm going long Bed Bath & Beyond, which was like another meme ticker that had like very low float and a short squeeze. That was the big thing. So like, if he posts anything.
You just said easy that he was taken to the SEC for exactly that behavior 3 years ago. So you think he's going to do it again?
He wasn't found guilty of anything. They just brought him in front of the.
So hold on. Easy's like butchering this story on multiple fronts. It wasn't the SEC. It was a congressional hearing. So that it wasn't the SEC. They were asking him about what happened there. And he gave whatever his spiel was. And people were rooting for him essentially. But all he did, and basically the whole narrative was just primarily about Wall Street Bets, was the other thing happening at the same time. And he was a main figurehead on that, like on that subreddit. I feel like it just marked a key moment in time in sort of the stock market history, because it also coincided with the COVID, like post-COVID crash timing. So like everybody and their mother was trading stocks at that moment. And he was just one of the key figures involved in that. And it triggered a bigger run on meme stocks. He wasn't responsible for any of the others. He was honestly just focused on GameStop. That was his entire trade. And he just held the trade. I think the bigger thing was that he continued to hold and had some quotable moments during that time, which became sort of legendary sort of points. And a lot of people hopped in. You bought the top because you weren't paying attention to it. But I think
that was my intro to like basically this memes. And like after that, I bought my first meme coin. So that was actually what onboarded me to. I bought Dogelon Mars is what I bought.
Oh, you're just an idiot.
I know. I made like a 10X on it, actually.
Dogelon Mars.
Dogelon Mars is what I bought. And then I bought this other random ass like meme coin on AVAX. It was like this one guy that was sending me these tickers and I was buying them. It was an absolute disaster, but I ended up from there, got into NFTs and lost a shit ton of money. Anyways, Signal, let's kick off the show. Take it away with the weather report whenever you're ready.
Let's not lose money today, people. We have, it's the beginning of the week and it is Monday, May 13th. You got that ETH market volume coming at 11.5, Solana at 2.8 and Ordinals chasing at 2. Onto the market leaders on the Ethereum side, got the CanFi Pandas, they're down to 1.4 ETH. Imaginary Ones are down to 1 ETH. Over on Blast, you got Game of Gold, that has dropped heavily down to 0.1 ETH after being farmed at above 4,500 NFTs. Over on Solana, Mall Street, that is up 35% to 0.6 SOL. And finally, over on the Ordinal side of things, you've got Rune Pups. They continue their dip down 20% to 0.04 BTC. On a crypto roundup, the majors, they are up on the day. Hooray. You've got Bitcoin. That is up to 62,700. Ethereum is at 2,960. And Solana is even at 146, holding nicely. And over on the meme coin side of things, they followed with the majors. You've got Trump up 40% to 400 million market cap. Maneki is up 20%. And Pepe is up 8%, sitting just below a 4 billion market cap. Over the past 24 hours, top three stories. Well, firstly, Pudgy Penguins announced their toy line has expanded to Target. Each plushie sold will contain a QR code for Pudgy World with the goal of onboarding the masses to Web3. Pudgy Penguins are up on the day to 12th floor. Secondly, Fantasy released the schedule for this week with a scoring update due today. You've got the main tournament is kicking off starting tomorrow, and their first subtonal tournament is starting on Thursday. Clear your calendars because it's just about common cards only, with a surprise. And there's been a surge of trading on the platform, recording 6.5 million of volume over the past 24 hours. And then lastly, Short Squeeze Star. We just talked about it. Keith Gill returns as his trading Twitter account, The Roaring Kitty, posted for the first time in 3 years. This caused the GME meme coin to gain over 700% to its 32 million market cap, and GameStop stock also trade up 40% on the pre-market. That is all for the weather report. It is back to you folks in the studio.
Thanks for the weather report, Signal. Some stories here from the Daily Bone. You can go subscribe at Daily Bones NFL.com. Sorry, I got a little bit distracted there. Apologies there. First, very, very first story from the Daily Bone newsletter, which is sent to everyone every single morning, 8 a.m. Eastern. Two rare CryptoPunks sold over the weekend with a Zero Punk selling for 270 ETH and a Hoodie Punk selling for 215 ETH. And then we got two Blast meme coins, which won the jackpot over the weekend. Baja won 110,000 gold and Juice winning 300,000 gold. Both Ooh. Just absolutely dumped right after. Signal, did you win any
100%. Of these? No, I don't have a one. There's pesky penguins ruining my streak. But other than that, I've won all of them. I've won all of them. Just smothered in gold right now. Keep them coming. Keep them coming, Pac-Man.
I did win a little bit of Baja, but seeing both of these just absolutely dump afterwards certainly wasn't as fun. If you can sell right after, basically, you do get to make a little bit of money, though. But I think some people did get an EV negative play on there. But anyways, next story, ARK. This is from Kathy Wood, has removed a staking component from their ETH ETF application. So some updates there. I believe we're going to see some news coming out of that in May on the ETH ETF front. Franklin Templeton has their CEO, Jenny Johnson, thinks that ETF and mutual funds are all going to be on the blockchain. So let's go. I'm all for institutional adoption. Last story, Trump has is working with Bitcoin Magazine CEO David Bailey. He was a speaker on the Bitcoin show that Pio used to host. To develop his crypto policy agenda. And this comes after his NFT gala that he was hosting, talking about crypto. I saw a lot of clips that went viral there. And very last piece that we're going to do is what to watch for today. We are covering all things that are going on in the last 24 hours or are upcoming that you should be paying attention to. This has been a pretty hit segment recently with some cooks that we've been talking about. But very first, easy, I want to talk about Elixir Labs. This is a gaming launchpad by gaming giant Square Enix is launching their IDO today. Can you walk us through it?
Yeah, Elixir Labs, Solana NFT collection, that's up 200% over the last 7 days, right around there. So this morning was up towards 8 SOL, currently sitting at 5.8. It's a game launcher. So when you look at Steam or things like Epic Game Store, where you can launch games, it's the same thing. It's the easiest way for people to be able to feel safe when playing games and launching them to play various Web3 experiences. So multiple games have launched on the Elixir Launchpad or Elixir Launcher to let people actually streamline being able to play this. So they have their CTA token today that's launching across the ages. It's the first IDO on Elixir and the game that's launching today. If you hold the NFT, you get early access 2 p.m. Central Eastern Time, Central European Time. Is that what is CET?
CET is, yeah, it's Central Time. Anyways, keep going. I'm assuming.
Trying to figure out exactly what time that is. But yeah, more or less, if you own the NFTs, you get access to these IDOs. People believe that gaming is currently going to lead the next meta. Obviously, we're seeing SocialFi dominate right now. It's Central European, sorry, right?
Completely wrong. It's not Central Time, it's Central European Time.
Yeah, I thought
yeah, but
so.
We're on. Okay. Oh, yeah, we're also in summertime as well, so it should be CEST. Yeah.
What the fuck?
All right.
What does that yeah, mean? Yeah. Time zone meta. Yeah,
Jesus, Central European summertime cest. Yeah. Okay. Regardless, I do think that this is really interesting. I own 8 of these that I picked up around like 2.5 wow. SOL. Shout out Tima. He had been bull posting them. I think it might have been 3 SOL when I got in. Regardless, we're up nicely on them. Did not even realize the IDO was happening today, but I'm excited for it. I've used their launcher before. It's the easiest way to not download some BS. And I think we're going to continue to see some positives from this because Elixir actually has a strong backing. Square Enix being one of the biggest traditional gaming entities. Now having this is such a big win in my opinion. And seeing it on Solana, obviously I'm bullish. It's great. So if you're looking to pick them up, go check them out on Tensor. You got the chart here showing it. Buy orders, sell orders, buy book, sell book, the whole full order book flow, charting technology. Just to give us some positive price action, we got a mean wick down there. Someone papered it for 3.3, now right back up to that 5.8 floor. It's nice. But yeah, I think Elixir Labs here is going to continue to crush.
Cool. Awesome. Great breakdown, Easy. The second one, let's quickly rip through this. I saw this was some people talking about it, and you brought it up earlier today, which I thought was interesting, is World PvP Co. So this is countries battling against each other. There's meme coins involved.
There's nukes.
What's going on here?
There's nukes. This is the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life, dude. So 211 countries are meme coins on Base. And after 30 days, the meme coin with the highest market cap gets a nuke and can eliminate another country. So you've seen these people ape these different tokens. And if you nuke a country, their liquidity pool is rugged. So they rug the LP of that country. So right now the top five is China, North Korea, the U.S., Chad, which is the country in, I believe it's in Africa. You got to love that the crypto space decided to just ape Chad of all places. And then I forget what number five is. I want to say maybe Russia, maybe. But you're just seeing a bunch of people ape these tokens. Like right now, I believe North Korea and China are at like a $2.5 million market cap. And then like the Chad is at like a 200K. So it's like a huge fall off. But if you hold the most of the tokens for that respective country, you're the president. So you decide what happens with the nuke. So if you are the biggest bag holder of said country, you decide what country gets blown up. And then you split profits from the liquidity pool to one random country and to the number one country who has the nuke.
Interesting. So the first nuke is after 30 days, you said, and this launched yesterday.
Yeah, which I wish it was quicker. Like, I wish it would be quicker. Chaos if it was like 24 to 48 hours. I think 30 days is way too long, especially in this market. Like if they did this over like a day, 2 days, I think it would be absolute chaos. I love the PvP meta we're getting right now for this. And there was actually another thing that dropped called a rug.fun instead of pump.fun. That's similar, where they do these things called challenges where meme coins compete for liquidity. And if you're in first, you get the liquidity, or last, you get the liquidity. Everything in the middle gets rugged. So you're seeing like meme coin games launching now, which is why like the thesis for a meme coin super cycle is continuing to just absolutely crush. The next game for this is today, by the way, for rug.fun. And these are quick games. Like they last less than 24 hours. And I saw this last time it went crazy. Mike Demarius actually talked about it, which is kind of fun. Because he's one of the fantasy top guys. And dude, I think these things like meme coin mania with games now being built on meme coins and like true, like known PvP. We know meme coins are player versus player. Like you're taking someone else's liquidity. But now it's like, okay, let's just throw it in your face. Like let's just make it hyper aware that you're going to be literally fighting this person for liquidity and having fun while doing it. So there's like significantly less bad blood when someone's like, oh, you just nuked the chart, because like that's the goal.
Right, it's at least it's kind of what
both those over on base. Sorry, did you say they're both over on base?
Rug.fun is on Sol, world PvP is on base.
I like it. I like the PvP and just being straight up with it. That's what Nick was asking for, and what he was talking about with meme coins on Friday. He's like, hey, at least meme coins, you're honest that, and everyone knows it's PvP. With some of this other stuff, it's they try to like put some lipstick on it. But anyways, this is just the symptom of what I want to talk about next, which is basically nothing going on the crypto price action front. Is people are bored. People are making tier lists of fruits, of animes that they've seen. It was just not great content last week, unless you were interested in Blast, meme coins, or Fantasy Top. But Nick and Easy, I do want to throw to you guys for a little bit of macro talk. We saw Wrecked Capital, an account on Twitter, pointing out that Bitcoin has tended to drop in the weeks following a halving event, and the danger zone, which is what we've been in, basically, is now coming to an end. So he's indicating a pump on Bitcoin. Easy, you tweeted, pump.fun is active and alive. There's a metric ton of TradFi catalysts coming this week. There's an election focus on crypto this year. We are so back. Do you think we finally see some crypto movement here?
So I don't know if the movement is back, but the people are back. There's like a difference here. Like that's kind of when I said we're so back, it feels like inflow from retail is going to be closer than ever. Kobe had actually tweeted yesterday that he thinks there's 12 months left of the cycle, so about a full calendar year, which puts us right near the end of Q2 next year, which I think actually kind of coincides with a lot of it too. Like post with the election this year, you're going to get about 6 months following. There's still like he had tweeted about a Goldilocks something. I forget the exact verbiage he used. Someone asked him what the hell he meant by that. And he did kind of explain it a little bit. He said that it basically means that the U.S. economy feels like it's at a inflection point, not going well, and rate cuts may be bearish. So that was kind of where his mindset was at. And I think he's right. Like the economy is kind of ugly right now across the globe. And if we have to cut rates, it's almost like we either should have done it sooner to try to continue to pump them, or if we do it too late, it may be viewed as like this is a last ditch effort at the moment. So yeah, he had said, I worry about the Goldilocks window. And then he says that window could have actually ended now, which is what got a lot of people fired up. They're like, okay, now we have GCR tweeting, we have Kobe coming back, We obviously have Roy and Kitty coming back. And then he went into this long spiel about how he's not an expert, doesn't really understand macro, which I thought was like a really honest and candid take, which I liked. And then saying like, right now, the economy is not great. Like, there's not many things that people are spending on outside of like absolute necessities. And to be honest, I've been seeing more of it on the timeline too. People talking about like grocery expenses and people saying like kids are about to become a luxury to have in the US. And I've never seen that from crypto Twitter. So I was like, ooh, like this is getting a little dicey. And here I am buying virtual influencer rookie cards on a website, hoping that they tweet more while people are struggling to buy groceries.
I agree, Easy. This is another extreme, but I went out a couple weeks ago in Miami, and I was at this club, and this promoter was talking to me. He's like, yeah, like he basically said that attendance across all the nightclubs that he's promoting is down like 50%. He's like, yeah, revenue's down. Like no one is going out right now because they can't afford it. Obviously there's the big ones that people go to, but he's like the minor ones, everything is so expensive that you're spending like hundreds of dollars to go out. No one can afford it. So I thought that was certainly interesting. Nick, I don't know if you have anything to say here or Signal, but we are seeing a little bit of nice price action. Bitcoin's up 3% on the day, but it's been chopping kind of in this range.
It's like, oh shit, the things have swung the other way. It's gone up 1%, and then it went down 1%, and then it went up 1%, and then it went down 1%. What? Today it's up. It's literally no different than it was. Like, it's just sideways price action. I mean, there's nothing happening at the moment. I bought a little more yesterday just because.
What are you buying?
I bought like Bitcoin and Solana. Sorry.
Okay, Nick. I've been buying a little bit as well. I got my tax returns, and I'm in there, dude. I'm in there. You know, I'm buying, baby. I'm buying. I think I'm just gonna buy Bitcoin and Solana here. I don't think I'll buy ETH. I did buy a little bit of ETH to just send it right to Blast and Fantasy Top. But yeah, Signal. Anything to add here? I know you've been talking about the eggplant season, but that's more in July/August. But curious if you have anything to add here.
Yeah. You'd really be planting the seeds now for eggplant season. We haven't quite got into it yet. There's still action happening. I mean, it's pretty like, I mean, the markets right now on the crypto side, like you're saying, we're just pretty much crab walking. I think this is a nice area to be adding into your conviction bets, but it isn't exactly the volatility that we're looking for at the moment to either go heavily up or heavily down in either direction. But that's not such a bad thing, because then you can put your attention on sort of like the riskier side of things, whether that's playing PvP, nuke the world across different countries, Blast, or like any other ecosystem. It's, yeah, there's not much action there. But I think, as Kobe was saying, this is to be expected. It was definitely not going to be halving up only. That was never going to happen. So I don't mind the sideways chop, to be honest. Gives me a chance to rotate some bags, take some of the fantasy wins.
Oh.
And put them back into Bitcoin.
Yeah, your Wi-Fi that was cutting out a little bit signal, but I've been doing the same. And Bitcoin hedge founder, just to wrap this, but Charles Edwards tweeted that I thought this was interesting. Bitcoin is right now in the bore you to death phase, and this lasts between 1 to 6 months and is designed to bore you to death. When you're sufficiently bored from the sideways chop, you start thinking the halving is priced in, the bull market's over, and selling to buy stocks at the bottom. Your symptoms and shorts will peak just before the mega rally. So keep holding the line, keep buying, and go from there. I do want to talk Pudgy Penguins. I see Luca's in the audience. So we'll talk about this real quick. They expanded their toy sales to Target. I also saw Luca say that they have recorded over 1 million toys sold. Pudgy Penguins are basically the only NFT with positive price action on ETH and on Solana. To be honest, and on Ordinals, NFTs are not showing too much strength.
And on Base.
And on Base. Pudgy Penguins are up 8% over the last 7 days to 12.3 ETH. Easy, anything to add here? I mean, it's certainly great to see. Like, I love to see them moving to Target. It's exciting, but like the excitement around NFTs certainly isn't encouraging right now.
I mean, I think it's just continuing to see that they can deliver. Like, they don't care about the market conditions. They're continuing to deliver and continuing to ship things. So, hats off to them. It's awesome to see what's going on and continuing to get into retail. Like, I think that's one of the best ways that they can actually get more exposure to traditional audiences. I think that it's an absolute no-brainer. It's awesome to see them in Target. Very, very curious to see what's next. because we keep seeing hints of like pudgy summer and things like that from Luka. So very excited because I think this is just the tip of the iceberg. See what I did there?
Hey, yo, I like it. Let's go.
I do think there's going to be a lot more coming. I hope at least. Obviously, my little pudgy bags would love it. So it's great to see that they're now in Target. I heard a few people say as well that they've seen the toys in Target already. So that's great because I remember when they announced the Walmart announcement, it was basically like that was day one launch. So it seems like they've been keeping it a little under wraps, that they've been in Target for a short period of time before now doing the official announcement, which is great. And yeah, just very excited to see what happens next. I'm very curious to see what happens with like Pudgy World and things like that, because that seems to be their onboarding tool where people can go in, play the game, get experience. And if you noticed too, when they announced the Target rollout, there was even like a walkthrough of like scanning the tags and getting exposure and figuring out how to get into the Web3 world. So I think that's where I'm most interested is what that and how that scales.
They absolutely. I remember it was a little less than a year ago when they did the Amazon rollout, and that was like freaking fantastic. I remember. I mean, we have come far since then where that Amazon announcement, and now they're like launching on Target, and people are like, oh, like, okay, like that's normal. Mr. Yellow brought up a good comment where people were, I saw multiple comments on Luca's tweet that were asking like, dude, you couldn't wait until the Fantasy Top tournament to announce this? Like, what are you doing, dude? Get your shit together. So yeah, he's going to push back his announcement by like 3 days just so his Fantasy
Top holders.
Card holders. On that note, EZ, and everyone else, like we were talking about this last week where NFTs are starting to be a little interesting to me, right? We have Mochaverse doing their Mocha token. We have Azuki's anime token drop. Bored Ape Yacht Club's doing some interesting things with the other side. Captains also teasing some interesting stake land partners. Is it interesting to you at all right now to potentially start thinking about buying ETH NFTs again, Signal or Easy?
Well, I mean, it's interesting. Everything you just mentioned, Clemente, has a token. Like literally everything you mentioned. I think one you mentioned did not have a token, which was Bored Ape Yacht Club. So yeah, NFTs are interesting, but only if they have a token, because it seems to be that's kind of like the meta that the space is currently in right now. I would say there's definitely stuff still worth picking up now because nobody's looking at it. I think it's still worth picking up projects that continue to build, continue to show up, and not chasing metas just because right now, for example, everything is happening on Blast. So they're trying to chase like that particular meta. I think teams that are staying authentic to their path and what they're trying to build are very interesting right now. So I would say like it's, you know, this is one of those moments where everyone's looking left and you kind of want to look right and just be like, okay, if I put some bids out, what's some stuff that I can pick up that perhaps people aren't paying attention to, or they want to rotate that money out of that ecosystem and put it somewhere else. So, yeah, I have been looking, Clemente, I have been looking and just sort of trying to see what I can bid on, which looks particularly interesting.
We did see Mutants. I remember we're at like, I think they got down to like 1.5 ETH. They have recovered, which is great to see. They're at 2.7 now. Certainly worth monitoring there with Agarga at the helm. Any closing thoughts on Pudgies, ETH NFTs in general, or where we might go from here? Nick, EZ?
I mean, the NFT traders are back, Clemente. I've been in the streets of the NFT market, looking around, saying what's going on, and just floods of buyers coming into the street at the moment, all saying, what NFT should I buy? I'm going to go buy a Pudgy for $30,000. That's what I've been hearing from people in the streets. I was standing in the mall the other day outside of the Louis Vuitton store, and one kid said, Papa, I do not want anything from Louis. Instead, I would like a Pudgy Penguin, was what was said there. And I was just surprised.
I would be very surprised to hear that as well outside the Louis Vuitton store. It's great to hear you were doing some shopping there. Sounds like it went
well. No, I was just in the mall. I was walking by. I don't go shop inside Louis Vuitton. Okay. That is just not a place. That's the poor man's luxury.
Got it. Very interesting to hear. Okay, well, we can move on.
Clothiers.
People really like the French accent, by the way. I think we got to see a French Nick at some point, but I want to move on and talk a little bit about Blast. We saw their season two of Heroes launch featuring our very own Easy Eats Bodega and Choose Rich Nick. Very interesting to see. Nick, I do want to get your perspective from a Heroes perspective, what you thought of what it's been like being a hero in this highly coveted, very exciting platform that is Fantasy Top, what it's been like for you so far, and if you're prepping anything for the tournament.
Dude, well, my card is basically not in circulation, like at this point in time. So I can't even like buy the damn thing. Yeah. So like, I don't understand. Like, I'm a hero, but like like an invisible hero is like where I exist at this point in time. It's like, yo, that guy had a moment. You know, remember when he had his thing, five of y'all could get his card.
Yeah. I agree wholeheartedly with you on that.
You only have 64 cards.
So for people that are maybe unaware with how the distribution works for the heroes and the season two heroes in particular, is what the platform does is it takes a snapshot, or it gives you a grade based on your 7-day Twitter performance. And the better your Twitter performance over those 7 days, you get given a score which dictates how many of your cards are distributed or the likelihood of it that they get pulled when people are ripping new packs. So because Nick was seen as a top performer, there's only 60 or so of his cards in circulation. Even like the top people, like Razmer was seen as a top performer. There's less than 10 of his cards out right now. But if you look at the very bottom performers, like Evan Van Ness, there's over 1,200 of his cards right now that are circulating. So I think this is a huge, I don't know if it's a mistake, but it's just an inefficiency with how they're making their platform right now, because those people do have, I think you do have an advantage by having more holders and more of your cards in circulation. Easy. How many cards do you have? You have around 300?
Yeah, 330. Right around there.
It's hard for me to be like excited about the way it was set up. I think it still needs to be fixed. I don't know what you think, Easy, but like that's why I bought a bunch of like crypto Kaleos, and that's why I have like 13 Evan Van Ness cards, because I'm like, hey, this guy was literally seen as the worst performer. As soon as he starts, he has been tweeting about Fantasy Top
nonstop, but his tweets only get 4 likes.
Yeah, because the tournaments haven't started yet. I think you are going to see a boost from the holders, that he has 1,000 people now that are going to be commenting, retweeting, bookmarking all of his tweets, that the algorithm is going to be like, okay, this is interesting. I don't think it's going to be as big as Zeneca, but Signal, anything to add here on all things?
It's tough to buy a card. I don't know what the price of Nick's card is, but it's tough to buy a card at that price, whatever. Obviously it's going to be a high price because it's low supply. Because obtaining it will be, you know, slightly more difficult, but more importantly, like, you need that hero to then have the next 7 days to like perform well, right? And they're obviously somebody who already performs well on Twitter, so they now have to like improve even more. Right. So from a sort of like, you know, my goal is to put a really good deck together for a good, you know, for the lowest amount of money. Like, that's what I'm trying to do. And if I'm going to have like my one card where I'm going to be like, that's the card I'm going to spend on, I think I'm taking a risk with a card like Nick's versus another card which has more supply. Potentially that person's a really good tweeter, and I'm like, oh, I think they have the potential to do well over the next 7 days, and I can spend less money. So, I mean, that's obviously in the macro of like, what are the other cards that you have and what is your budget? But yeah, I kind of agree with you on this, Clemente, but that's just from like my goal in terms of how I'm trying to build my deck, trying to build a fantastic deck, but at the lowest budget, rather than ripping packs at 0.42 and just getting garbage. I'm not going to rip packs. There's no point.
0.42 value immediately after I opened it was 0.09. Immediately, within seconds, I was like, dude, how did I just lose 75% of the value in milliseconds? I was so mad about it. Who are you starting for the common tournament? I don't think I'm playing in the main tournament. I think I'm only playing in the common.
Let me just bring up my profile.
While Steve was bringing that up,
Go on, Clemente.
What I was going to say is easy, bring up a good point. So for this week, for people that maybe aren't watching Fantasy Top closely, there's two tournaments that are going to be happening concurrently. And there's a main tournament where you can use any rarity, any type of deck. And then there's going to be a common only tournament. And basically what happens during tournaments is if you, because a bunch of cards get taken out of circulation, once the heroes start performing well, people FOMO into the circulating supply. So you actually see an inherent pump into it. So by opting into the tournaments, you are paying a premium, basically, because you're electing to have your cards locked up for a specific period of time. So what Easy's bringing up is he'd rather trade the cards, trade into that supply squeeze that's going to happen when the cards get taken out of circulation, right, Easy?
Yeah, that's essentially my bet, is that you're going to have minimum 10 cards, on average 10 cards, for every player locked up. So like, and right now I only hold one rare card, it's a Pranksy rare, but I think my common deck is like an absolute home run.
What do you
an
have?
Absolute home run. Me, 6969, I think he's a good play. Pre-Rich, I don't know if I'm going to start Pre-Rich though. I think I'm going to start a me, 6969, Hero, Zeneca, Gleb, and myself.
Got it. I like it.
If I could start five of myself,
I'm doing Hero, Zeneca, KJ Crypto, Mando, and then I need to choose between, I think the Maverick is Matchy and the safe bet is G Money. So I have to choose between one of those two.
Sig fading me.
That's crazy.
I did it easy. I bidded you. I bid on your card yesterday and it was like, I think we'll say 0.09. I was trying to grab it at something like that. And then I left, went and had my Sunday, came back, and the price just kept going up. And so this is actually, I think this is actually a really good example. Like, would I rather do like 0.14 on easy now, or would I rather do like the safe Nick say at 0.3 or 0.4, you know, and I'm looking at supply, I'm looking at views, I'm looking at engagement, I'm looking at the next 7 days. Like those kind of cards, that's when you start thinking, okay, like how do I want to spend that bit more on like on the commons versus like going to then go buy a rare or an epic.
So there's some things I'm looking at here too, is like what I read after their post yesterday is like frequent posters are not going to get nerfed anymore and follower counts are going to be weighed less. So you almost want to find the accounts that tweet a lot, but also have high follower counts because it seems like they won't get nerfed, which is why I'm like Zeneca is now also again a no-brainer. Despite him having 377,000 followers, 5 million impressions, his card's up 5x from the lows of last week before the tournament started. Then I look at somebody like the me person who has 47K, but they tweet a lot, but good engagement. And that's one I continue to look at here. Obviously, like Wob is my sleeper pick, but I just want to trade his card because yeah. Like he has pretty high inflation, but 100K, only 147,000 impressions last cycle, but he's already up 2x on that over the last 7 days.
Yeah,
cards are almost at 1,000 though, because that's where you got to start to get creative. Like if you start a Nick in a common and Nick drops 2 to 3 videos, then you're in a good spot because what, you're going to have 5 other people potentially starting him if they even play him, versus if you start a Evan Van Ness where there's 1,000 people also playing that card. So you have to get like kind of strategic on it, where like that's my main concern for Zeneca is I think he's going to be one of the most played cards here with 3,600 cards. Same with like a Hero who is sitting at 3,000 also. So I'm like trying to find these cards that have significantly less supply to try to get a better opportunity in there. But I think like as I'm looking now, my card may be the lowest one I'm playing, which is like kind of a concern because it's much like fantasy sports. You got to find the players that no one's playing that end up having a very good game. Like you look at Dante DiVincenzo from the Knicks 2 games ago. Nobody played him and the guy went for 30. And that was like what won every daily fantasy sports tournament that day was if you had started him, you won. So it's like you got to kind of take some of the DFS style daily fantasy and look for those players not many people are going to be playing, which is why I think season 2 heroes for the common tournament are going to be the dark horses that end up getting the people in the top 10, because some of those cards are going to be played so few and be the better cards. Like I look at like kind of pricey, like a Min or something like that, that's a little bit more expensive. Razmir, if he drops 10 videos next week and goes for 5 million impressions, there's 6 cards.
Yeah, but you're paying one, like I can't justify paying 1.6 ETH for Razmir. I don't care what he does.
My starting bet cost me less than 0.1.
Yeah, what are we talking about here? I quickly want to add here. I know I've been historically, like literally for the last 10 days, just bull posting the hell out of Fantasy Top. And I think I had a reality check this weekend where I saw what I thought was a big mistake by the team with terrible marketing for their season two heroes, a bad rollout from the product. Like the marketplace was down for like 18 hours in a 24-hour period. And I was expecting prices to dump. Literally no one gave a shit. No one gave a shit. So like, I know everyone has been saying, oh, the product is so good. Like this is freaking insane. This is so awesome. Everyone is buying like 95% of people that are playing fantasy top right now, I doubt are going to be here when the gold goes away. So I do want to make like that statement where I feel like this is only happening because this is the casino that's making people the most money right now. I've seen people make 10 or 15 X's in literally like 3 days from playing this game. And over the weekend, every single card value went up. It's wild seeing this. People are just YOLOing into this, and there will be losers in this. This is PvP. I don't see how this is sustainable necessarily after the gold incentives go away. There's 3 million gold incentives.
They can hammer the ETH rewards, though. They've already said 45% of those rewards go into it. I think what I'm genuinely most excited for is for gold to run out. Let all the cards dump. This is something that I could see myself still playing. It takes such a little effort to go in and set up a tournament and just play the game that I'm like, if the team sticks around and keeps shipping, you got to remember Frentech went on a massive lull and then came back too. Like,
yeah,
that's what I look at here. Like if you actually followed like other, I look at this as more of like a trading card game than anything else. You look at things like parallel avatars and stuff like that with the parallel card game. After pack releases, they ended up selling off pretty heavily as everyone ripped the packs open, only for them to rally into like the next allow list phases. So I think there's a lot of interesting things. It seems like Travis and Mikado both have like decent grasp of this as to like how to try to keep people excited. And like people keep saying like Blast is going to die in the next 14 days when TGE happens or whatever we get here at the end of the month. Like I think Pac-Man's going to incentivize you to basically keep farming. Like we saw what happened with Blur. Season 2 of Blur was significantly larger than Season 1. And if you don't think they're going to run that back, I think you've totally lost the plot.
100% agree. Oh, go on, Nick.
What happens when they switch the rules? There was conversation this weekend on the timeline about, yeah, like Blur's then like deprioritized basically. And so now you're and the shift is towards Blast. It seems like a lot of things to juggle. And it also like in the broader scheme of things is something which is confusing for me to understand the market dynamics of, because like where does the money ultimately like come from? It's from people coming into the ecosystem, which is why it comes back to PvP. It's like us putting money in and hoping that we're going to race to beat somebody else out the door is essentially the entire game. But and the incentive in this case that all of the players that show up to the casino is based on theoretical math, where NFT stats is saying that $10 is now the price of gold. And everything that we're basing is all on that, which is like ultimately the market ends up determining what the price of these. Well, I mean, I guess it converts into actually the Blur token, or what's the token?
It could be the Blast token. We don't know the name yet, but it's also like the same time. Like you're saying,
I thought it was known that it converts to that gold converts to Blur.
Blast.
So Blast is a token that doesn't exist.
We don't know if it's called Redacted at the moment. We don't have a name. The speculation is it'll be a new token that's specific to this L2, which in theory could be the gas fee that it ends up starting to charge. Like, there's a whole bunch of stuff we don't have insight into, but you're also saying it's new participants. It could also just be investors in Blast. Like, that's the other thing here where there's locked invest periods where, once again, same exact play style as Blur. The investors are the ones that have basically seeded the funds for the people who are participating on it to take profit and get out. Like, that's the main thing I look at here. I don't think it has to be brand new participants every time. Versus people who are investing on the back of this. Like, that's kind of where my head's at with this. And I think we're slightly overthinking some of this. Like, you talk a lot about it just being the casino. It's absolutely a casino. But it's the same thing with like options contracts and people chasing equities. Like, that's exactly how I look at this, is like people dump money in hopes that an earnings report cooks. And if it doesn't, you're smoked. But then if they announce a stock buyback, it sends. Like, that's the same type of thing here where it's like, okay, if now we get a Blast buyback or more reason to keep farming or incentives to sit there, I'm like, yeah, like we call it a casino, sure, but traditional equities literally navigate in a very similar fashion.
I, I hear you. And I think the buyback is actually an interesting approach, which is the thing that Rollbit is using. What's the value of Rollbit at this moment in time?
It's been check. They just got rid of the Solana token officially.
The Solana RLB token?
Yeah, so now it's only on ETH. It's a 236 million fully diluted.
Kind of low.
This is the dynamic of the buyback thing. Every chart like looks the same as this. Anyways, it seems what I guess is the thing that I personally feel about it, which is why I'm a little bit exhausted by it, which is why I gave the tone that I did the other day and why I said the thing that I said right now, is that like a large portion of it feels like you're building nothing. But now something is being built. Like in this case, the game is being built. I honestly couldn't like fully figure out, like, is the game literally just buy the cards which have the highest price? I don't know what and is the deck, the theoretical thing here is that whoever has the highest rise in points as a deck.
So it's, you get points for engagement based on your posts. They're adjusting some of the scoring too, because like
hero themselves. I'm talking about for me creating the deck.
Yeah, so you buy 5 cards that you think are going to perform well on social media over the next 7 days.
And so each session is just a 7-day session?
So far, that's what we've seen. There was a Flash tournament that lasted 48 hours. We don't know what the Commons tournament's only going to be 3 days because it's on a Thursday. There's a bunch of moving dynamics here that we don't have full insight into, and they keep saying that they're going to be trying new things. Like, this Common tournament's going to have some unique rules to it.
I think maybe I'm just exhausted from the mysterious bullshit.
Yeah, there's no, like, clarity. It's just wait till this, which is exhausting, but at the same time, like, speculation is what does drive the market on anything. Like, any market is speculative.
You don't want to reveal.
That's fair.
Speculate on earnings reports. Will Google beat or will they lose?
The consumer speculates on what feature is going to be in Apple's new iPad, basically. Like,
we sit there and speculate on which rookie card from the NBA is going to be worth more based on how they play for the season before they ever tie up shoes. Like, speculation is what gets people excited.
On the Knicks. That was stupid.
Exactly. You didn't expect them to get absolutely mollywopped by Tyrese Halliburton.
Points, I bought a 60-bucks right then, dude. I just got it was just throwing money into a fire.
Like, I get the frustration on speculation, but it also is what drives conversation. Like, that for anything. Like, we don't know what's happening in the election. We don't know what's happening for what I'm going to eat for dinner, you know? And I like, that's the thing is, like, when you speculate, it leads to conversation and it leads to people to actually take an opinion and lead to dialogue. That's even more interesting than if we just had all the answers. And to be honest, I think we don't have all the answers to anything, which is what leads to us being able to even participate in this space. Like, we speculate on which token is actually going to get interest. We speculate, is WorldCoin going to be a damn thing despite it having massive like global reach? We speculate on if Solana is going to be the retail chain. We speculate if ETH is truly going to be deflationary. There's all this stuff that like, we want definitive answers on, but we don't have them. And that's why I'm like, okay, this is why like any market is speculative. We literally just named sports gambling, traditional equities, the election, basketball players, like all that stuff is like, you can get frustrated about it, but that allure is what keeps people interested, regardless of what we're looking at.
And before, I do want to talk, speaking of speculation.
Which one should we be buying at this point? And
aping Anthony Edwards rookie cards. We're already late to the game, but trust me, they're going so much higher because that dude cooks. He's the real deal.
Who the fuck is Anthony Edwards?
Point guard for the Timberwolves.
Dude, I'm talking about fantasy top.
Oh, okay. I thought we were talking traditional basketball. Yeah, okay, fantasy top.
Before you give him that, I want to give a quick shout out to our partner of today's show, Galaxis. Galaxis is a no-code solution for people wanting to build NFT communities. You can issue membership cards to your community. They unlock perks, utilities, access, and value to your community members. Galaxis also just launched a community grants program with $1 million worth of rewards to be distributed to creators and their community members. If you're interested, check out the pinned tweet or the YouTube description to learn more. Easy, back over to you on all things at Fantasy Talk.
I'm aping the hell out of me, 696969. That's the one. Everyone on the timeline is saying he's undervalued, so they're going to pump that one higher. I think every card, though, Nick, is going to be at minimum a 0.05 floor this week.
Right.
I think minimum we get a 5X across the entire market.
And you're saying that because of the supply squeeze that's going to happen from the main tournament going live and the common tournament going on top of that. And
the common tournament is significantly more interesting because you actually have to own two cards if you want to play both of them. So right. If I want to play both of my Zenicas, I have to own two Zenicas.
Nick, you only own two cards right now?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like I should be getting in
Nick,
there.
Nick, financial advice. Buy a Wob. I think he's going to come out the gates very hard for this. 0.06. Who's the other card you own?
The two ones that Clemente gave me some nobodies.
What are you literally KJ up Crypto? Like 3x on both of them.
I am. Are you buying commons with all these?
Only commons. I'm only buying commons. If you want to compete in the main tournament, you need a 10 ETH bankroll right now because everyone got in so early and upgraded. I do not care about the main tournament. If I enter, I'm going to enter literally the worst lineup possible and try to get last place just for the memes. The other side of it, though, is the common only tournament. I have a fighting chance.
I'll figure out what to purchase here in terms of the speculative buy here.
You're going to buy a Wob. You're going to buy a little clear pill. Those are the two.
Little clear pill?
Yep. Yep.
That's a Twitter person?
Yep. Just trust me on it, Nick. You're going to get a little clear
pill. It's giving me an error.
L-I-L clear
pill. None of these transactions are going through.
Oh, you got to refresh. The marketplace is a disaster.
Dude, it literally doesn't work ever. It's so garbage.
It's honestly friction is, I hate to say it, but friction
is bullish. Friction is bullish. If I have to sit there and refresh 14 times to spend an ETH, I'm bullish.
Little clear pill getting investigated by the platform for botting. So
it is a woman and it says that he is under investigation if you hold the mouse over the ticker.
I bought a Wob.
I like the Wob buy. So now you have three cards. Kaleo's.
I got
Kaleo's
Eric Ball.
Okay.
Adam Cochran.
Okay.
Wob.
Okay. I think you pick up a little clear pill.
This is funny going through this process looking at these things just because I'm like, dude, you know when you went and bought a pack of cards back in the day from some trading game and you just got fucking wrecked? You go to the cafeteria and you're like, all right, what do you guys got here? You're looking at what the other people show and they show their hand and you're like, I have shit cards.
Yeah, I'm smoked. I'm so fucked. I'm in danger right now. This is not good. This is not good. I actually like your deck so far. So Eric Wall, Adam Cochran.
Dude, look at this. Wob. Is Clemente's?
Yeah.
Clemente's got a good value.
How much money do you have in here?
It's worth 3.2 ETH approximately.
How much have you invested into this?
1.2 to 1.5. I bought these two inverse bras that I bought for 0.4 are the 0.4 each are the big.
Let's show my port, Clemente. I got you beat.
So you've doubled your position?
Yeah, at least.
I was in for 1.2. I took one ETH out. We're sitting at a 3.4 right now.
And where is that ETH coming from? Is it just solely from card price appreciation?
This I don't like this, sadly, is the portfolio value is based on floor price and not bid price. It's based on listings. So they're pretty illiquid. I wish it was bid prices to be what I could actually floor it for. But yeah, it's all appreciation. I entered for 1.2 ETH. I took an ETH out, and now I'm still sitting at 3.49-ish. So I'm up pretty this is basically entirely profit. But I have 10 Kaleos, 10 Wobs. I bought 25 Zenicas at 0.03. Sold them between 0.09 and 0.12, so the cleanest 3 to 4x. Hold 8 Mii's, and I list all of them because I don't pay as much attention to this. But if I'm my deck, I'm starting with me, Hero, Zenica, Gleb, and myself. That's my starting five.
Well, I can't
is that for the main is that for the main or the common?
You can see where I got them listed. My lists are all way up here. All right? I list over floor. I list everything over floor. What'd you say, Sig?
Oh, wait.
I asked, are you playing in the main or in the common?
I'm going to play in the common for sure. If I play in the main, I'm going to start the worst possible deck. I'm going to start Kofi, whoever this guy is, probably a Zagabond, maybe a Kaleo and hope he doesn't tweet for a week. That's my main goal here is to just have the worst possible performing deck.
And is that just so you get the points for participation? Is that why?
That's it.
Okay.
That's it.
All right. I'm going to buy a few more and get a deck here, and I'm going to include myself. It looks like I have one available for me of the six that are available, which is just absolutely ludicrous.
I think they screwed you on that, Nick. I would have rather you had like 500 cards so then more people could get involved. More people would be rooting for you and helping your content. It literally doesn't make sense to me, but people were saying that, hey, the supply inflation, the inflation stuff makes sense, but make it more linear for the first 7 days. There should be way more even distribution so Nick isn't just getting destroyed and each person should have at least like 50 to 100 cards at least. Before we wrap, this is a developing investigation, developing news. GameStop stock trading has been paused temporarily. I don't know if it's been resumed, but it's up 110% on the day, dude. What the fuck is happening? Easy, walk us through what happened last time this was paused. What ended up?
It went so much higher. It went every time they halted it, it would just open and send another 30, 40, 50%, and they'd have to halt it again. Like, they halt, resume, halt, resume. And it's all based on volatility while they like try to like slow down the chaos because people just get liquidated. Like, even massive funds get liquidated. Like, that's the thing is if there's a net short position right now, this thing is all this because Roaring Kitty just tweeted a single meme. Is insane. The most absurd thing to me.
Are we about to see like just mania on all these meme stocks? And oh my God, by the way, the GameStop token is up 1400% in the last 24 hours. Holy shit. This feels like we need to talk about
the market cap of it.
Market cap is 55 mil.
Higher.
Okay. Holy shit.
Higher.
So, okay, what other meme stocks?
What's the market cap of GameStop's actual company?
All right, let me look.
10 billion.
10 billion? Send the GameStop ticker to 10 billion.
It's at 11 billion right now.
How much was your card on Fantasy Top here, Easy?
0.13.
Mine's 0.4. I just bought that. I feel like
yours is so high, dude. Yours is so high. But the thing is, because you have a higher follower count and don't post as frequently and your tweets get like insane engagement, I think your card's going to cook. Like, I think you're going to do really well in the tournament if you have anything lined up for this week.
Yo, you gotta line up those bangers.
This week is the key thing.
It's this 7 days. Only. Tuesday to Tuesday.
Tuesday, tomorrow.
So, Nick, I need you to cancel any plans.
I need those videos.
I need you to sit your ass down at that desk and I need you to start clicking, clanking. All right. I need you to get the click clacking. All right. I need you to click.
Nick, there was a comment that was made that was like, I saw Nick was looking for a videographer. Like, I'm so bullish. Just bought his car. Like, it's going to go higher because he's about to crank out that video content.
It's so ridiculous, dude. This is so absurd. The stakes are high. I'm now dealing with the Moonbird style situation. I'm going to end up looking like Kevin Rose. Kevin Rose had, you know, an NFT that cost, you know, $100,000 or something like that, just ruined his reputation. Because the reality was he was like, I'm going to do something. Actually, just kidding. I'm not. was basically what happened there.
Stakes are high for Nifty Nick this week.
Oh my God. Someone bought that. Do not buy my card. Okay. Send it to zero.
Let it go lower. Okay. Well, before we wrap, I want to give another quick shout out to Galaxis. They are the no code framework. You can make NFTs, build a community without needing to do any of the dev work. You can issue membership cards that unlock perks, utilities, access privileges, both physical and digital. It is very interesting. And they have gamified elements in it. And they just launched a community grants program with $1 million worth of rewards to be distributed to creators and their community members. If you're interested, check out the pinned tweet to learn more. And that's going to be our show. Thank you all for tuning in. We're going to be watching this GME stock continuing to rip up 120% on the day. But we will be back tomorrow. See you all next time, 9 a.m. Eastern.